beautiful singing, very well-directed prayer. It's already been good to be here this morning. I thought about this when we were hearing that beautiful singing. I wonder how congregational singing would go over on Sunday morning sometime. It was really beautiful today, and appreciate the way that you've joined in, and certainly it's a blessing to be here this morning. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord brings to a conclusion that wonderful Sermon on the Mount. That whole discourse was just outstanding in every respect. But in the concluding portion of this great sermon, I want to focus our attention on one particular passage as a basis of our lesson this morning. You'll recall in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 that Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." In verse 3, he said, "Why beholdest thou the mote or the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam that's in your own eye?" But down in verse 12, our Lord makes a statement that I believe will revolutionize our lives in every way. It will affect our relationships with one another as we go about our school activities, as we go to our jobs, in every aspect of our lives, this rule will make a difference. Our Lord said down in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 7, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men would do unto you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now here in verse 12 is what we normally refer to as the golden rule of the Bible. It's the idea of doing unto other people as we would have them do unto us. I want you to imagine with me this morning a perfect world. Use your imagination. A perfect world in which everybody practiced the golden rule, doing unto other people as you would have other people do unto you. Can you imagine 5 o'clock traffic on Atlanta Highway with everybody practicing the golden rule? Can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine going to Walmart in Montgomery, Alabama, and everybody practicing the golden rule? We don't live in a perfect world, but we think about what that world might be like if everyone practiced this rule. If everyone practiced the golden rule, there would not be any of the labor management problems that we see in our world today. Our economy today would be flourishing if everybody practiced this rule. There wouldn't be the corruption in government or in business that we find and hear about on many occasions. Divorce would virtually be non-existent if people practiced the golden rule. We wouldn't read about crime because crime basically would not exist. We've been hearing in the news and reading about Victory Land and the casino and gambling issue in our state. In a perfect world where everybody practiced the golden rule, there would be no such thing as a casino anywhere. Because you see, the very principle of the golden rule is violated by such. And I suggest to you that this is a wonderful principle for us to live by. If we could just practice the golden rule of doing unto other people as we would have other people do unto us, it would just beautify every aspect of our lives. For the next few minutes, from a practical standpoint, I want to talk about a few ways in which we need to try to endeavor to practice this great golden rule our Lord talked about in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. I might suggest, first of all, today that we need to realize as we are involved in the Lord's work, doing what God would have us to do, that this idea of practicing the golden rule will help us do the Lord's work much more effectively. Think about the work that we are to do in trying to, for example, save those who are lost. Have you ever really stopped to think how much it would do in a good and positive way if we could work with those who are lost in the same way that we would want them to work with us if we were in that lost condition? I think we fail to realize sometimes that there's a lot of people in this world that have lived in sin for a long time. There's a lot of people out there that basically feel like that nobody cares about them. They really have become unreceptive to the gospel call. There are those who are quite insensitive. And there are those that we know, our associates, perhaps our friends, who have strong carnal appetites. Just to be honest with you, they love the world. There's a lot of people that we know who love the pleasures of sin, and things of a spiritual nature just doesn't seem to suit them. In fact, I believe we need to try to be more understanding of these people instead of just writing them off. I think about the example of Paul, who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 20, he said, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them who are without law, I became as those without law, that I might gain them. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by some means save some." Now what Paul is basically saying there is I try to do unto other people as I would have them do unto me. I try to see things from their vantage point. I try to understand where they're coming from. And when we go about trying to reach out to the lost, if we could just look at what the Lord said here, doing unto other people as we would have them do unto us, I believe we would do a much more effective job in reaching the lost. For example, maybe you're teaching somebody who is in religious error. Now, when you think about it, most impression from religion comes from family. In particular, the influence that parents have toward their own children. And here's somebody that maybe you're talking to about the Lord, and this individual is in religious error, and here's one that really loves his mother and father, and perhaps his mother and father has already died. That makes the situation even more complicated. Sometimes our first inclination might be to say, now listen, you're just being wrong about this. You're not thinking straight. You're not being objective. You're not just being honest about this situation. And if we're not really careful, we can do a lot toward turning this person away from hearing the gospel. But if we could do for that person exactly like we would have this person do unto us if we were in their situation, I believe we would be very sensitive to their needs. We wouldn't be hateful. We wouldn't be arrogant. But we would let them know that we care about them, and we would let them know what a good thing that it is for them to love and to honor and to respect their parents. But I believe at the same time we could point out to that individual that, you know, their parents were honest. Their parents were sincere. Your parents did that which they thought was right. Would your parents not want you to do the same thing? Would your parents not want you to do what you know is right? You see, we need to realize that in working for the Lord, we need to practice the golden rule. Now, whenever I eat a meal, and there's a point to this in a minute, and I'll get to it, I like my meal to be hot. It encourages me when I see smoke coming up from the plate that I'm about to eat. I don't like cold pizza or cold food. Not spicy. I want it warm. I want my meal hot. And at home, when we sit down to eat supper, I'm not going to answer the telephone when it rings. There's an answering machine. And oh, please, a car that comes by, somebody stopping by, oh man, perfectly good supper just went down the drain. So you see, that's my thinking. That's why when I go out and I do my visiting from time to time and I knock on your door and I see that you're eating a meal, bye. It's good to see you. I'll come back another time. Nothing you can stay or say will make me stay. If I'm visiting the hospital and it's lunchtime and you've just been served your meal, I'll say, I'll come back another time. Let me have a prayer with you briefly and I'm leaving. I want you to enjoy your meal. Because if I was eating my meal, I don't think I would want to be disturbed. We need to practice the golden rule. And so when we are out maybe encouraging and restoring our brethren, we need to approach them in the same way that we would like to be approached. And if we do that, then we will not offend them. When we can go to people in an attitude of genuine love, genuine concern, treat them like we would like to be treated, then I can assure you that we're going to be effective in what we do. In the next place, though, think about, as Christians, our relationship with one another in the Lord's church. Think about how this principle our Lord gave in Matthew chapter 7 would make our work in the church much more pleasant. Think about elders and their relationship to the Lord's church. You know, elders ought to treat members of the Lord's church like they would like to be treated and would need to be treated if they were the members and not the elders. Now, elders are those individuals who are stewards of the moral and spiritual purity of the body of Christ. Elders are those who have been entrusted with the doctrinal soundness of the Lord's church. They watch over those who are members of the church. They watch over the sheep, Acts 20 and verse 28. And elders need to do that in the right way. They need to understand that members have needs and they need to try to meet those needs in the best way that they can. That's why Peter, who was an elder himself, instructed elders in 1 Peter 5 and verse 2 to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And elders in the Lord's church need to realize that they're to be examples to the flock, and they need to have the attitude that they're going to act toward each one of us as members like they would like to be treated if they were in our situation. They need to be sensitive to the needs of people. But then you think about the attitude that we as members need to have toward those who are elders. You see, this idea of the golden rule works both ways. It's a two-way street. If we would treat our elders like we would like to be treated, if we were in their situation, then I believe also that things would be much more pleasant. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Now sometimes elders have to say no if they're going to be true to the trust that's been given them. And sometimes we may not be able to understand why they said no. But brethren, if elders are to lead, then we are to follow. And we need to do that in a good way. And I hope today that we will all determine that we're going to help our elders give an account of their charge with joy and not with grief. I believe that we love and respect and appreciate our elders. And I hope that we will support them and hold their hands high. And let's treat them with the same kind of respect that we would like to have if we were the elders and they were the members of the flock. Let's treat them with respect. You might think about the preacher and his attitude toward the Lord's church. I realize a preacher has a lot of responsibility, but if a preacher is supported by the Lord's church, then a preacher is duty-bound to give his time and his effort and his energy in the work of the Lord's church. And a preacher needs to be concerned about the golden rule in dealing with the congregation. Paul challenged preachers with the words of Titus 2 in verse 7. He said, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, in teaching, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. You see, in my attitude towards you as a gospel preacher, I need to think about your needs. I always need to think about what's good for the Lord's church. But then think about the church's attitude toward the preacher. You see, this idea also works both ways. And members need to realize that preachers do have great responsibilities, and preachers are human beings as well, and that he has a wife and he has children, and not a one of them is perfect, that we all make mistakes, that we all fall short, and there's none of us that are ever what we need to be totally and completely. And members of the church need to realize a preacher has to have the time to study and to prepare lessons and teach classes and help other people. And we need to think about our lives, and we need to treat preachers like we would like to be treated if we were in their situation. You see, this idea of the golden rule will work in every aspect of our lives. I think about our attitude as brethren toward one another. Now, brethren, I know sometimes we offend each other. We may say some things sometimes that hurts one another, and we don't even mean to do that most of the time. But if we could only treat one another as brethren like we would like to be treated, what a much more enjoyable place the church would be. Think about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. There's some key words there that we ought to keep in mind. The Bible says, with all lowliness, that is humility, and meekness, that is gentleness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That word long suffering there means that We ought not be the kind of people that are so thin-skinned. You know, eggshell-type skin. We are offended just about at everything that anybody says or does because, you see, we're so focused on ourselves. And as we have this attitude of humility and gentleness and long-suffering, verse 3 says we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And wouldn't it be wonderful if everything that we do in life, every action toward each other as brethren, if we would treat one another like we would like to be treated in that situation. And how we need to practice the golden rule when it comes to our relationships with one another. And so you see, before we get mad at one another, before we become rude and harsh and ugly, let's remember that we need to treat our brethren in the same way we would like to be treated. Now, if we offend somebody in the church, we may not even realize it. In fact, I believe a lot of times we don't realize it when we offend somebody. Now, we would want them to come to us, wouldn't we? We wouldn't want to let things drag out. We wouldn't want hard feelings to exist, not knowing the reason why. And so, brethren, we need to practice the golden rule. We need to realize that it's a two-way street. And so if somebody offends us, let's not get mad. Let's not get upset and angry. Let's instead go to them in the same way that we would want them to come to us. Let me also suggest, though, that this idea of the golden rule not only applies, I believe, to our work together in the Lord's church, but I also believe that it can be applied to our situation in our homes. Now, I know many times I fail to practice the golden rule. Many areas of life that I fall short. And in every situation where I fail to practice the golden rule, it's always because of selfishness. All of us by nature have some selfish aspects to our lives, don't we? And whenever I find that, you know, there's conflict in my life or things going on that I really don't care for, many times, most of the time, it's probably because an attitude of selfishness. Things aren't going like I want them to go. I'm focused on me. I'm focused on how this is impacting my life. I'm not really concerned so much about you. I'm concerned about how it affects me. But in every action, in particular at home, we need to practice the golden rule. Think about the attitude of parents toward their children. Now, sometimes parents may not be as sensitive as they need to be to the problems that children have. You know, here's a teenage young lady, they may be even a little bit younger, and they may have some problems that to them are tremendous. They're very weighty, very heavy. To us as parents, they may seem to be even silly, somewhat insignificant. But maybe we ought to think back to the time when we were young people, if we can think back that far. And we ought to treat our children, our young people, exactly like we would like to be treated if we were in their situation. We ought to be a lot more understanding. We need to realize that if, as parents, we would look at our children and treat them like we would like to be treated, how much more enjoyable that would be. But the golden rule is a two-way street. Children and young people, think about how much better it would be if you would treat mom and dad like you would like to be treated if you were the parents. You know, as I look at our society today, I think it's obvious that there's a lack of respect many times in the lives of children and young people toward their own parents. Now, Paul made it very plain in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And young people, you need to obey your parents. Children need to honor their parents. It's a command of God. And young people, I'd like to say that you need to be more understanding toward your parents. You need to realize as young people that your parents love you. Your parents are concerned about you. They are concerned about your eternal destiny. And when your parents say no from time to time, they say no only because they're concerned about you. And they're concerned about your soul. And how much better off our homes would be if we would practice the golden rule of doing unto others as we would have others do unto us. You know, young people, one of the most important things that you can have from your parents is their trust. Whenever your parents trust you, you know as well as I that it's going to be a lot easier to get permission to do those things that you want to do. And yet, when your parents don't trust you, you might as well forget about it. Now, young people, do everything in your power to always protect that trust. You ought to be willing to answer their questions about who and where and what you're going to be doing. And you may think that, you know, your parents are just being nosy, but that's a parent's job. You need to put yourself in their situation and practice the golden rule. You need to treat them in the same way that you would like to be treated if you were the parents, and you will be someday. Now, there's a curse out there, and this curse actually works. I've seen it work. Some of you may have already been given this curse, and there's nothing you can do about it if it's been given to you already. Sometimes a parent says to a child, "I hope you have a child like you have one day." That's a curse, and it works. You probably will have a child like you are one day, and you'll get what's coming to you. But you see, if we would practice the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But it's a two-way street. I believe that parents ought to trust their children. That trust in those young people ought to be automatic unless they've given you reason not to trust them. And parents need to put themselves in the place of their young people and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You might even consider for a moment briefly husbands and wives. Husbands and wives need to practice the golden rule. Wives, according to Ephesians 5, are to submit to their own husbands. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband is to love his wife as his own body. And we need to consider, as husbands and wives, our spouse's feelings and desires and wants. That means that what I say and what I do toward my spouse needs to be something that I would want done toward me. So, brethren, what I'm saying this morning is in every aspect of our lives, we need to develop a greater sense of understanding. Just briefly, let me give you an example. Here's a brokenhearted father or mother. Maybe they have a child that has just died, a child that's been killed. We ought to ask ourselves, how would I want somebody to treat me if that were my son? Or if that were my daughter? Would I appreciate a letter? Would I appreciate a note of encouragement, letting them know that I'm thinking about them? And we ought to go ahead and do for those people what we would want done unto us. Or maybe here's an individual that's in the hospital. The doctors come in and he has said, you don't have very long to live. You've got cancer. We ought to ask ourselves, what would we want individuals to do unto us if we were in that situation? And we ought to give them the same kind of encouragement and support that we would want to be given in that situation. Or here's a man that has always been very busy, very active. He's always worked very hard. All of a sudden, this man has a heart attack, or he's involved in an accident. He becomes permanently disabled. That's one of the most difficult adjustments, from what I understand, that a person can make. Now, what would we have others do unto us if we were in that situation? And we ought to do everything in our power to serve that person in that way. Or here's Christian parents that have a teenage son or a teenage daughter that is involved in some kind of terrible sin, some kind of awful situation. How would we want folks to act toward us if that were my son? Or if that were my daughter? Now, brethren, if we'll stop and think about that, there won't be all the condemning. There won't be all the hard things said that are sometimes said in the Lord's church. Sometimes children talk the worst, I guess, because, you know, they hear it from their own parents. Or here's a young person that somehow gets involved in drugs, maybe even selling drugs. That youngster may even get involved with the law and have to spend some time in jail. Now, we ought to ask ourselves, how would I want people to act toward me if that were my son or if that were my daughter? See, I'm afraid sometimes we don't think about what the Lord said here. Sometimes we have a standoffish, I really don't care kind of attitude. Or here's a large family that seems to be very poor. Their house may not be dirty. It may not smell too good. And we may say sometimes, well, you know, I just don't understand that kind of thing. They ought to understand better. Maybe we ought to think about the situation that they grew up in, the background of that person, and how would we want to be treated if we were in that situation? I just want to suggest to you that we need to live by this golden rule. Our Lord said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men would do unto you, do you even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. And I want to suggest to you this morning that this is a good rule to live by. It's a rule that I want to try to apply to my life more and more. Let's consider the other person. Let's treat others like we would want to be treated if we were in their situation. This morning, as we sing this song of encouragement, there may be one or more here who's outside of Christ. You may have never obeyed the gospel. I hope you'll think about your situation. We implore you, based upon your faith in Christ, to be willing to repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and then even today to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Or it may be that you haven't been living like you should. Maybe a selfish spirit has kept you from following the Lord and serving others the way you need to and ought to. You may need to make your life as well, right as well. So this morning, the invitation is yours. If you're